Hey everybody, thanks for joining us. My name is Jesse Lee. I'm the Online Programs Director here at the White House. I'm lucky enough to be here with Commerce Secretary Gary Locke in one of the old Secretary of War rooms here at the White House. This morning, the President gave a major speech talking about the National Export Initiative. This is something that export as a means to creating jobs is something he's talked about throughout his presidency, especially in the wake of trips abroad. It's something he talked a lot about in the State of the Union. But I've got the expert here, so I'll kick it over to him if he's got a few remarks about the President's initiative.
Well, thank you very much, Jesse. This morning, President Obama announced further details of his National Export Initiative, which aims to double the amount of U.S. exports over the next 5 years, creating some 2 million new jobs in the process. The reasoning behind the President's plan is very simple. The more products we sell abroad, the more products our companies have to make here at home. And the more products that we make, the more we hire people to make those products. We know that American businesses are unmatched in their ability to innovate and bring world-changing products and services to people around the world, raising the standard of living and the quality of life for those residents of other countries. But what we've got to do better is connecting those American businesses to the 95% of the world's consumers who live outside the borders of the United States. For all of America's economic strengths, we have long stood out among developed countries as one of the few whose government does not have a focused, comprehensive, and agile export strategy. The President's National Export Initiative is going to change that. And there's plenty of room for our exports to grow. U.S. exports as a percentage of our gross domestic product, the total output of our companies. The U.S. exports as a percentage of gross domestic product is well below that of nearly all of our major economic competitors. And today, less than 1% of America's 30 million companies export. And of those companies that do export, almost two-thirds export to only one country. So if we make a great product here at home, but only export to one country, we've got to help that company export to two or three other countries. Because again, the more they sell abroad, the more they produce here in America. The more they produce here in America, the more jobs that they create. The National Export Initiative will mobilize virtually every branch of the federal government to turn all of this around. As the President said today, America needs to go to bat for our businesses and our workers. And so I'm eager to talk about how we're going to do that in the next half hour and looking forward to your questions.
All right. Thanks a lot. And just so you know, those who are in the chat in Facebook, I'm keeping an eye on you. I'm looking at your questions and pulling them aside to ask the Secretary. We also got a bunch of questions from Twitter and Facebook ahead of time. I'll go ahead and start with one of those. You know, one of the things that's nice about these chats is we can dive into some of the stuff that doesn't necessarily capture every single news cycle. So, I'll start with kind of the basic question that a lot of people have had, which is, you know, when you talk about exports, what are you talking about really in terms of what products, what mainly will we be exporting? Emmanuel Maza in particular asked this earlier.
Well, actually, we're going to be focusing on exports of any American-made product or service. And because there are different needs and different demands from one country to another, what I can say is that American products are highly valued and in great demand all around the world. We simply need to match up those American companies, especially the small and medium-sized companies who don't have a huge marketing department to help them find the customers and buyers for those American-made products and services. That's what we in the Department of Commerce excel at. For instance, we have several hundred foreign commercial service officers, trade specialists, in over 130 cities all around the world, at every consulate, at every embassy all around the world. And their sole job is to find customers and buyers for U.S. companies. And it's almost like a speed dating. And there are various programs where, for instance, our people will actually look up potential customers, arrange for them to come to one location, and you as a company owner would go, let's say, to Budapest, Hungary, sit down in a room at the consulate, and we will bring, let's say, 8 or 9 of those potential buyers or customers to you every half hour, on the half hour, and you conduct the interviews. We've had so many companies that tell us they have found customers, and a large percentage of their business comes from the contacts, the businesses that we at the Department of Commerce have been able to find for those American companies. But you know, some parts of Asia might, different parts of the world have different demands and want different American products, whether it's clean energy, medical devices, cosmetics, even manufactured equipment. Great demand for our products and services all around the world.
All right. Corey Pierre just came in with a couple questions. I'll take one now and I'll get to another one later. He says, will there be tax cuts for small businesses that do business overseas? And that links at least tangentially to another question we got earlier from Malvina Gasco. Are there any plans to encourage small businesses in the high-tech sector in particular to export? For example, some small businesses are limited by the high cost of international patents, which is something necessary in the high-tech industry when exporting.
Well, clearly, patent issues are something that our Department of Commerce also controls. So we have the Patent and Trademark Office is a bureau within the Department of Commerce, and we're really trying to make sure that we can actually expedite the processing of those patent applications. Right now, it takes almost 3 years, a little over 3 years, to get a yes or no on a patent application. We want to get it down to 1 year, because if you don't, patent pending is kind of like an uncertain title or ownership of your property, and it's very hard if you have, let's say, a home, you want to get a loan to remodel your house. If you can't really say that you own the house, how can you get a bank loan to remodel? Same thing with patent pending. So we've got to get that process down. And we need to help American companies get their products commercialized. So once you get the patent, we need to make sure that it's recognized in other countries. And if you can get a patent in the United States, it's easier to get a patent approved in another country. But the president does have tax incentives, proposals for tax incentives to help small and medium-sized companies purchase additional equipment, as well as tax incentives for hiring more people, and even raising the wages or the hours worked of those already employed by a company. Those are before the Congress right now. It's part of his initiative to create more jobs, accelerate the creation of jobs, as well as reward companies for moving some of their part-time workers or three-quarter-time employees to full employment.
All right. A question that related to Corey's second question came from Alex Rose on Facebook earlier, and this is something comes up a lot in these kind of discussions, is before we worry about exports of products, maybe we can actually address the export of jobs, incentivize firms to keep the majority of their workforce here, higher tax breaks for U.S. firms that shift percentage of workforce overseas, clamp down on false royalty payment schemes U.S. firms use to shift profits overseas. And yeah, maybe you can just talk about that kind of general question, that general tension that you feel doing this stuff.
Well, the president was very clear during his campaign that he wanted to make sure that there were not loopholes and incentives, tax incentives, that encourage companies to move jobs overseas. And he has already called for the Congress, and he stated this in the State of the Union address, taking away some of those tax advantages for companies doing operations overseas that actually put American other companies at a competitive disadvantage and lose jobs here. Also, he wants to crack down and close some of the tax loopholes that both individuals and companies might use in terms of tax shelters, offshore accounts, and things like that. So that is a high priority for the president. We've got to really make sure, and the president believes, that American workers are the most productive, the most efficient workers, and we need to make sure that they're operating on a level playing field. And the president believes that American workers, if given that level playing field, competing against the workers of other countries, win the game every single time. And that's why we have to make sure that there's a level playing field so that, for instance, countries don't discriminate against American-made products and services, and that other countries abide by strong environmental and labor laws and health and human safety laws, because otherwise, we give the workers of other countries and give the companies of other countries an unfair advantage over American workers.
All right, Sean Floyd just asked about this, and Trude Kyle asked about it earlier. When can we expect to open trade with Cuba and export our agricultural products there and import some of theirs?
Well, we actually do have some limited exports to Cuba, and the president wants to normalize relations or at least open trade more with Cuba, but it's got to be reciprocated with greater efforts and progress on democracy and human rights within Cuba.
Okay, fair enough. One of the president's top initiatives has been the development of the clean energy economy. One question we got from Twitter from Darshanik was how to incentivize international commerce for renewables. And this has been something we hear about a lot is, this idea that some of these other countries have gotten out ahead of us in the renewable markets and everything. Is there anything we can do to kind of shift that to our advantage trade-wise?
Well, the president already, through the Recovery Act that was approved by the Congress a year ago, has put billions of dollars into tax incentives for research and development of alternative energy, energy efficiency, clean energy, as well as things like batteries and wind turbine components. So we know that that's going to be the job creator of the future. And the president openly says that the country that leads in clean energy will lead the world economy. And we know that several other countries around the world have already moved forward on clean energy. And that's why we have to pass a comprehensive energy and climate bill so that the private sector knows whether or not U.S. policy. We simply need an energy policy so that companies and investors know what we favor. And so many companies that I've talked to are sitting on the sidelines, not in moving forward in terms of manufacturing or production in the clean energy field because they don't know what U.S. policy is. Should they go down and invest in Path A or Technology A if, in fact, U.S. energy policy 2 or 3 years or a year later or 6 months from now, in fact, favors Technology C? China, for instance, right now is as a government, investing almost $9 billion per month developing their clean energy, alternative energy, energy efficiency sector. They're doing it not just to meet their own energy needs. They're doing it to become the world supplier of clean energy for the rest of the world. And if we don't hurry up and pass an energy policy that the president has called for, in a couple of years, we're going to say, how is it that Shanghai or even Berlin have become the next Silicon Valley of clean energy with all the jobs there instead of here in the United States? So we are promoting the export of clean energy technology and products, and there are many countries that are looking for those products, services, engineering, and ideas from the United States. This is where we can actually sell American-made goods and services around the world, highly valued, in great demand, and clearly meeting one of the global challenges of the world. That's why in May I'll be leading a trade mission to China and to Indonesia promoting American clean energy sector.
Okay. I've got a couple questions that I think maybe asking you to get a little more kind of in the weeds of the president's proposal. Stephen Pitkanen, I think, asked, are there certain export percentages increases for goals that we are looking for setting and reaching? Nancy Denigan seems to be asking exactly, what's new here? She says, ITA services outlined earlier have been available for some time. What new services will be provided under this initiative?
Well, actually, the president is calling for a doubling of our exports, and there are so many different sectors that in which we are underperforming in terms of exports to other countries. For instance, agriculture. We have huge surpluses of so many crops and commodities here, and yet there's too many people in hunger around the world. And so part of the president's National Export Initiative is calling for a major enhancement of funding to promote our agricultural commodities and crops. In terms of the Department of Commerce, yes, we have an International Trade Administration, which has many, many programs. But part of the problem is that not enough companies, especially small and medium-sized companies, know of the services that we offer. One is the Gold Key program that we have, where we actually will go out and find people, customers for U.S. companies, and it's almost like a speed dating program where the company, let's say, will go to Poland and we'll line up potential customers, we'll investigate the background, the bona fides of various companies, bring them all into the consulate, and the American company will just sit there, and every half hour we'll bring a new potential customer or buyer for that American company. We don't market that enough. Not enough people know of our services. And so that's why we have a toll-free hotline to connect up with people, And it's 1-800-USA-TRADE, 1-800-USA-TRADE. And we have people here in the United States that will sit down, talk with that American company, find out what their strengths, expertise is, and then connect them with potential markets around the world. And then our foreign service officers, trade specialists, will then go hunt down potential customers and buyers for American-made goods and services.
All right, that's great. And I'm always happy to have information that kind of is of practical use rather than just the theoretical. That said, we've got a couple kind of theoretical type questions. We've gotten a lot of questions about China, as you might imagine. This one probably captures a lot of what we've been hearing. Deborah Curran Riley asks, with cost of living so high in the U.S., it appears to be difficult to compete with countries overseas where the cost of living is lower there for workers and workers will work for less, like China. What's kind of the guiding principle as far as, accounting for that sort of imbalance?
Well, that's why the president very much believes in a level playing field and trying to make sure that with trade agreements with China and other countries, that those countries abide by minimum standards, but high standards that we value very much in the United States on labor, on environment, health and human safety issues, the use of pesticides and chemicals, because otherwise if other countries don't have to observe some of those standards that we very much value, then it makes it so much cheaper for those companies and other countries to produce those goods and then undercuts American companies. But actually, we have found out that in a lot of the manufactured goods that we make that are high value, that are very sophisticated, that require great skills, American companies can actually sell the product oftentimes cheaper than other companies in other countries. We visited a dredging company that makes almost like ships and dredging equipment that are used in small little harbors and ports. They actually found it that they could build these ships and put in this and manufacture this very sophisticated equipment cheaper than they could around the world. And so that's all manufactured here in for instance, the state of Maryland and exported all around the world and creating jobs. And they say that almost, I think, 80% of their business comes from exports. And so many of their customers we found at the Department of Commerce for them.
All right. And just because I see some questions coming along the lines of small business and patent costs, along the lines of clean energy economy, I want to let folks know those are things he's touched on already, but we'll be posting the recording of this entire chat probably late this afternoon on the White House blog. You can always come back and watch anything you missed. So this is another kind of big picture question, I think. Kurt John asked earlier, how is it going to work? We keep putting tariffs on imports, which means the countries we want to export put penalty tariffs on our exports. How are we going to provide a stimulus that kind of breaks that cycle?
Well, we always want to avoid a trade war because if we impose trade barriers, protectionist policies, another country will respond. We then respond and retaliate, and it gets to be retaliation, retaliation, tit for tat, and then we all end up in a vicious cycle, and nobody wins in a trade war. So we have to be very, very careful that as we try to boost production and jobs here in the United States, that we're not engaging in protectionist policies. That's why we have a World Trade Organization, the WTO, that sets the rules of trade for all countries. And even when we have very mature trading and economic ties, whether it's with Canada or Mexico or France, there will be some disagreements that come up along the way. But we have a rules-based system for resolving those. And so, for instance, countries that improperly companies from other countries that sell their goods into the United States at artificially low prices, that's called dumping. There's a mechanism by which the United States or other countries can correct those improper acts. And so we've had, there have been a lot of cases filed by companies who complain about their competitors, foreign competitors, selling at artificially low prices. We investigate, we make findings, and if found to be true, we impose additional tariffs on those foreign products coming into the United States. So that is par for the course, it's part of the international regime of international trade, and even sometimes U.S. companies have been found to violate these international rules where they are artificially selling price their goods at artificially low prices, and they have sanctions have been imposed upon those U.S. companies. But this is not because of a retaliatory scheme of protectionism. This is simply complying with the rules of international trade. And I want to say that, for instance, the amount of these trade disputes and cases and adjudications really represent, for instance, in the case of China, less than 3% of all the value of the goods coming in from China. So we actually, there is not a huge, I think it would be unfair to say that the United States is really engaging in protectionism and slapping tariffs and duties on goods coming in from other countries, especially from China.
Okay. I'm not sure this is exactly a question, but I know it relates to a bill the president just signed. Mike Mecky appears to be from Tunisia and cites the fact that their tourism has jumped dramatically and has helped their economy as, I guess he's just saying it's a good thing, but maybe you can talk about that and what the president's been doing on that front.
Well, actually, tourism is considered international trade because when visitors from other countries come to the United States, it's bringing their dollars, their money into the United States the same way and benefiting our industries. So it's income to our United States companies from abroad, the same way that we would get income if we actually sold a product or a widget, manufactured good or medical device to someone in another country and getting payment for that. And so the president did just sign a new piece of legislation passed by the Congress a week ago. He signed it a week ago. It's the Travel Promotion Act, and it assesses a very small fee on foreign visitors applying for a visa coming to the United States. And with that money, we're going to help promote American destinations, our great cities, our great entertainment, and our great natural beauty, our natural resources, so that we can have more people coming to the United States as opposed to other countries for vacation, leisure, or even encouraging people who come here for business to take a side trip and explore America.
All right.
That will create a lot of good-paying jobs in America because we know that when people come, they stay in a hotel, supports hotel workers, restaurants, malls, resorts, all the way from taxi cab drivers to people who are making goods and helping those bed and breakfasts and the resorts and hotels and destinations all around the country.
All right. Stephen Winiarczyk, could have that pronunciation wrong, asks, why don't we block all imports coming from questionable labor practices? And maybe you can just talk in general about, how we weigh labor practices, human rights, even maybe environmental concerns in terms of how we open up trade.
Well, that's why when we have these trade agreements, we try to, and the president's very insistent on high standards. But there have been a lot of agreements that have already been signed and ratified by the Congress. We just need to make sure we enforce it. And enforcement of our existing trade agreements is a high priority for the president because, America is one of the most open economies in the world. And when we further remove any barriers that we may have to the goods and services coming from another country, we want those other countries to do the same, to lower the barriers that they have imposed on U.S. goods and services. And if we don't enforce those rules, then American companies, the American public, is not getting the fair end of the bargain. And a lot of those agreements do call for labor standards and environmental standards and so forth. So that is a high priority for the president.
All right. I think we've...
But consumers themselves have a lot of power. And if consumers feel that certain countries are... violating basic standards in terms of human rights and human dignity, child labor standards, et cetera, then consumers have the power to bring that to the attention of the American public and to other consumers and act accordingly.
Excellent point, obviously. All right, I think we've probably got time for one more question, and we'll take another one from Nancy Denigan. She says, I'm not sure this is entirely true, but she says, your focus has been on manufacturing/exporting products. What about services? Are there any service areas that will get a special promotion, or I'll add that you see as kind of special opportunities for job growth here?
Well, the President's National Export Initiative focuses on products and services, and not just manufactured goods, but our services, whether it's in accounting, whether it's in legal, whether it's in financial services or insurance, and engineering, architectural services. When I was governor of the state of Washington, I led many trade missions, and we really promoted our service industry. And we know that, for instance, one out of every five jobs in manufacturing supports one of every, exports supports one out of every five jobs in manufacturing. Exports also supports one out of every 10 jobs in the service sector. And as we become much more service-oriented, there is a huge demand, quite frankly, all around the world for American services, whether it's just basic health insurance, life insurance, financial institutions, education. A great hunger and demand all around the world for education and vocational education to just courses in idioms of the American expression, understanding and conversing English better all around the world. So we have great opportunities, not just in the manufacturing sector, but also in the services sector. And the initiative does not play or give greater emphasis one over the other.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much. We've got more information up on whitehouse.gov about this and obviously at the Commerce Department's website. And it's been great to be able to kind of dive into this topic. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Jesse.
And thanks so much for joining us.